Ephesians chapter 6. This is a passage in this ministry we refer to very, very often. My guess is that until the Lord comes, we will refer to it very often. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. I need all my equipment for this day we live in. Need all my equipment. Put on the whole armor of God. Just hitting church now and then, ain't gonna get it. Reading our daily bread occasionally, ain't gonna get it. That's helpful. Put on the whole armor of God. And of course, that chapter, we're not going to go there this morning in this particular area, but it goes into the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, goes on and on, describing the armor. And interesting that there's no armor for the back. There's no turning around. No turning back. Put on the whole armor of God. Church is your supplement. You need it. I worry about you when you're not here. I need it. Fail not to assemble yourselves together. There's teaching out there in our day and age that the church has become obsolete and that that's no longer needed. It doesn't have to be in a building with a steeple on it. But you need the assembly of other people. There is value in corporate worship. There is value in joining with other Christians. There's the hot coals keeping you glowing as well by being a part of that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes of the devil. Do you know we're dealing with a schemer? The devil's desire is to get us off track. The devil's desire to get us left to center, over here, over there, out of the will of God, out of the way that God would have us take. That's the desire of the enemy. He's a schemer. He's studying you. He's had 6,000 years experience. This isn't to create fear, but we need to be into reality of who we're dealing with. He's had 6,000 years experience dealing with every personality. He studies our reaction. I'll not go into this morning, but one of the reasons that we sing the song, Praise Him in the Storm, and one of the reasons that in the book of Psalms it speaks so clearly about praising God in the midst of difficulty is because the schemer doesn't know what to do with that. When he's watching you in the hospital room and you sing out praises to God as Irma Moshesh did in the midst of her cancer and raise her hand in praising the Lord, he doesn't know what to do with that. Because he's watching your reaction, and that's not a normal reaction. Kingdom reactions aren't normal reactions. And that's why we're called to praise him in adversity. Well, Pastor, I always thought that sounded kind of crazy. You advise us to praise in adversity. The scheme of the enemy. He studies us. He's had 6,000 years experience. He watches to see where we're vulnerable. I want to be victorious in every season of life. That came from my father. My father made that statement. He wanted to be victorious in every season of life. Every season of life has its temptations, has its difficulties. We have our vulnerabilities at different times. Our youthful years has a certain set of temptations and trials and difficulties that go with that. Then we get into our 20s, and maybe we get married like Pam and I did, and actually we were 19 and 18. We got married the day after Pam's birthday when she turned 18. You start your family, maybe as we did, and there's a new set of difficulties. There's a new set of circumstances. Responsibilities change. Children maybe come into our life. There's all the temptations and distractions of life. Get into your 30s, your 40s, there's yet other seasons of life. I'm finding in my 60s, yes, doesn't seem real. Seems like about 10 years ago, I was driving around town in a sports car. And the truth is, it was 45 years ago. Life goes by quickly. What is your life? It says in James, it's but a vapor that's here and gone. The schemer is what we're talking about. Some of you just entered the service. We're talking about the schemer who studies us and watches us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. I want to be victorious in every area of life. I'm finding its 60s has its different set. Different set. Things I didn't anticipate. That's part of the scheme, to hit you with something you didn't see coming. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many here this morning have had some temptation or something come to you and you think, where did that come from? I thought I was past thinking such a thing. Anybody? You're laughing, so you must. My godly mother said to me one time, and I never dreamed she would have such things. I thought she was just so virtuous, nothing wrong ever went through her mind. She said, sometimes I will get the filthiest thought just dart through my mind. And I thought, you're kidding me. You? Part of the scheme is to catch you off guard. He'll bring something on you that you haven't dealt with for years and come in like a flood. Don't be thrown by the schemer. If you've come to Jesus Christ and you've opened your heart to him and you're sincere, and I believe if we were taking polls in this congregation, we have a high percentage of people who are very serious. Very serious. I think higher than most churches. I say that to your credit. You're very sincere in following God. But in that sincerity, if you've come to him sincerely, which most of you have, and you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't you doubt your place with him. The schemer will come along and blindside you with something you never saw coming. He'll blindside you with something that you think, I never thought I would struggle with that. What in the world? Put on the full armor of God. These aren't days just to hit church occasionally. Please don't take offense at that. We're here for your good. We're here to shepherd. We're here to help. We're here to help you keep on track to avoid the schemer. I want to say something, too, that I said probably 4 or 5 months ago. I remember saying it here, but I want to say it again. You need your local church. You need your local church. Now, don't misunderstand that. There are some incredible movements. There are some incredible godly people. I have had men of faith that live hundreds of miles away and have ministries, and I've followed them over the years, and I've received a lot of good. I was especially fond of David Wilkerson, who's gone to be with the Lord. That can play a vital role in your life. Don't you dare misunderstand me on this. But you know a scheme of the enemy? God has so set up the kingdom that your local shepherd is in touch with the principalities and powers in this area. And you need your local shepherd. I don't know what principalities and powers are at work in southern Oklahoma where Alan used to live. I'm not in touch with that. But I believe the pastors there, they're praying God's cluing them into the schemer in that area. And the devil tries different things at different times. And he brings influences in different ways. And you need your local shepherd. That's not a ploy or a commercial to get you to come here to church. But there's a movement nowadays, oh, I don't think I really need the church. And I can get along fine. I can pick up a few things here and there off the TV ways. There's lots available now on the internet. There is, but you need the community. And as we move into the tribulation period, you need the community. And let me give you a compliment. And this is the third or fourth time I've said it. If we're going to go through the tribulation, and I believe we are going to go through the part of the tribulation before the rapture, I want to go through it with this bunch. This bunch has been to hell and back. And I don't say that in a swearing sense. They have. They've been through horrible things. There's people in this congregation that have been through incredible abuse that'll make you cry just hearing the story. A precious young woman in our congregation gave her testimony at youth meeting the other night. And I cannot describe, Brian, you know that you felt the same thing I saw. I cannot describe the emotion I felt listening to this testimony. And I thought, my, oh, my, Lord, how privileged we are to have somebody among us that has recovered from such a horrible thing as this. I thought I knew her, but she told things I hadn't heard before. If we're going to go through the tribulation hour, and I believe we're going to go through part of it before the rapture, I want to go through it with this bunch. We need community. We need each other. Why am I bringing this out? Because there's schemes of the enemy. The devil likes to see a sheep isolated. If you watch the story of the big cats, I always enjoy the National Geographic specials of the big cats in Africa. I love that. And of course, now with the new spotting scopes and all the electronic stuff, it's amazable. It's amazing the footage they get. Amazable? That's a new word. Amazing. The footing that they get and the things that you can see that before you couldn't. The devil is as a roaring lion, it says, seeking whom he may devour. Do you know that the big cats will sometimes, especially the tigers, whose stripes line up, isn't that interesting? Whose stripes line up with the weeds perfectly, and so he blends perfectly. When he stands perfectly still, he fades into the grass and you don't see him there. You know that a tiger will, they have timed them, they will stalk a baby deer for 8 hours before pouncing, waiting for that deer to stray from his mother. Interesting that the Bible says, the devil is a roaring lion, seeketh who he may devour. The schemes of the enemy. Put on the whole armor of God. This is a time to have your personal walk intact. If I can say to you that today, I believe the most important thing right now in this season that we're in, it's important to be in touch with the seasons. The season that we're in spiritually now in America, I think your personal walk is probably more important than anything else. Your personal time with God. Don't let the schemer steal it. He'll do everything possible to keep you up late at night so that you can't get up early and talk with God before you go to work. You can say, oh, pastor, you got it made. You're a pastor. I'm paid to do what I like to do. And I am in a season of life that I'm enjoying some of the freedoms that go with years of service. Now at 32 years in the ministry, there's some blessings that come from that. But I also have worked in the world where you did have to have, you had children to care for, you had a home to build, you had things to care for and bills to be paid, and there need to be some discipline. And you can't stay up on the internet till 2 a.m. and have your time with God. You can't stay up and watch every show that's on and good for you anyway. And spend your time with God, put on the full armor of God, take your time with God, and don't compromise on it. You need to be able to hear the still small voice, but I want to tell you something with confidence that I know in my knower is right and true. If you will take your time with God and keep honing your senses to the still small voice, you will hear the still small voice in this noisy, noisy, cluttered world. Last week, I told you from the platform that I was going to change some things in my schedule, do some limited fasting, spend some time in prayer, that I needed some clarity. Yes, I had been praying. Yes, I had been taking my walks. Yes, I had been spending my time with God, but I felt cluttered. I felt like I didn't have clarity, and I'm responsible for too much right now not to have clarity. And I found once again that in time with God, and lots of it this last week, that God honed in and clarified, and I could pick out the still small voice, and he gave me surety on a number of things. Yes, you're on course. Yes, this is right. Now this, over here. No, come back here. I want to be tuned in to the still small voice. You need your time with God. This is something you know well, but you're going to hear it 1,000 times here. You need your time with God. We're trying to give you stuff to get you through. Then you need the community. You need the protection. You need the covering. Is that a new word for you? You need the covering that comes with a shepherd, leaders, and body of believers who pray for you. Yes, the covering. There is a covering that comes. And one of the schemes of the enemy in our day and age is to isolate us, to get us out of the way. And there's even groups teaching that there isn't the need for this, and this is overplayed. The essentials that are in Scripture are profitable and right for what we need to stay on track. And we need community. We need each other. Fail not to assemble yourselves together, all the more as you see the day approaching. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. For, because we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the real fight. And boy, who knows what we might fight physically before this is over and what kind of opposition we might. I'm not suggesting fight in the sense of animosity, hate, and fight, but who knows? We're headed for a time, I'm afraid, of physical persecution. But there's something bigger going on, he's saying. It's not about flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. As I get older and ask God to help me understand the kingdom, how the kingdom works, help me to understand spiritual authority. Help me to understand the value of a covering. Do you know that God imparts spiritual authority? He took his disciples aside and gave them power and authority. Exousia and dunamis, the Greek words. God imparts authority. Some are called to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. He imparts authority as he will. And we humbly receive that from him. And then with that spiritual authority, as we worship together, there's a covering. I used to have a group of men that pray steady and regular for me, and I used to call it the covering. I'd say, these men are my covering. They're praying protection over me. They're taking my burdens to the Lord. They're my covering. God imparts authority as he will to spiritual leaders. And these men, I could see that God was working in their lives. I wanted to be part of that. Authority, is that about being a big boss? No, that's prideful. Authority is about, the root word of authority is author. And the more you get to know the author, the more you spend intimate alone time with the author, the more quiet time you have with the author, he will impart to you authority and give you spiritual authority against principalities and powers. This is a foreign topic in a lot of our churches today. I would say that there isn't 1 in 100 preaching anything like this today. Can you see the meltdown? Oh, you surely can. Can you see the meltdown in our world? Can you see the meltdown in what's happening in our country and the trends and the way they're going? It's bigger than flesh and blood. It's bigger than verbal battles. Yeah, some of that gutter stuff. But it's bigger than that. Spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a lot going on in the spiritual world right now as we near the tribulation hour and the return of Christ. That time when it says the Lord's wrath will run over. So how do we deal with principalities and powers? It's through knowing the author, being part of a body of believers. Until we come to the place where we can be trusted with authority, we're under the covering of someone's authority. You with me? Until you come to the place, and you will. Until you come to the place where you're imparted authority, God will place you as a young Christian under the authority. Fortunately, I was put under the authority of two very, very humble, godly, but powerful men, Pastor Ronald Bishop and Jack Robbins. I was under their authority. I sensed that. I wanted their company. I didn't shun them. I didn't push them off when they talked to me. I recognized that God had put me under their authority. When Pastor Bishop would have tears run down his face and begin talking to me, man, I was all ears. If you look at my old red Bible that I have that was saved in the fire that's in my garage, it is full of notes. I was like, wait, hold it. I want to write that down. Now, as I've walked with God, I humbly have received authority he has given me. I have a mentoring group where I see people writing down as Guy and myself and Vince and various ones. He imparts authority and he wants to grow you and he wants to develop you to a point where you will then be imparted the authority, because we're dealing with something bigger than flesh and blood. We're dealing with principalities and powers. And it's important to be a part of a body of believers. Put on the full armor of God that you can stand against the schemes of the enemy. You're not fighting here against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities and powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places. As you grow in the Lord and as you develop, he then will impart to you. It's not about your name. It's not about the little badge you wear, the position that you have. A humble 90-year-old, 96-year-old widow lady like my grandma Goldie Robbins can have tremendous authority, because she knows the author. I can remember being by her bedside and she could just squeak out a prayer, but I'm telling you, everything in the room changed when she started praying. I want to see you last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Joel, again repeated in Acts. I want to see you develop and become women of prayer and men of prayer, because we won't have to get up and wave our banner and tell who we are and boast and be prideful. God will impart to us an authority that when we turn to the devil and say, get out of here. Do you know you can turn to the enemy and in Jesus' name say, leave him alone. As a shepherd, I've had young Christians I saw struggling, and we've had battles in prayer, and I've said, you leave them alone in the name of Jesus. And if you know the author, he will impart you authority. Yes, it is part of leadership. We're in a generation where they're trying to do away with spiritual authority. If you have any kind of authority at all, they try to call it control. Well, if it has selfish agenda, it is control. You can't fight principalities and powers without authority, my friends. No wonder the devil wants to wash that out. Does that make sense? Colleen, when you and Pam are co-directors of the rescue resort, we got to have authority over there. There's women coming in there who have been through horrible sexual abuse. There's women coming in there who have been through horrible bounds, chains of sin. We got to pray with authority. The schemer wants to dismantle you. Stephanie wants to take the shield of faith away from you. He wants to take the helmet of salvation off your head. Don't you doubt what he's about. The devil's out to kill and destroy. I see him do it to me all the time. He knows I have influence. He wants to dismantle me. I know he does. He wants to take me down. He wants to break me emotionally. He wants to break me mentally. He's out to kill and destroy. Jesus says he's a liar from the beginning. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. That's his native tongue. I'm grieved because churches today are not talking about this. In a few cases, they are. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And when you go into that dirty mouth factory, Casey, when you go into that factory, lots of surface stuff going on that shouldn't, including the things coming out of people's mouth, but there's something bigger going on too. The vast majority of those folks have chosen a way that isn't the way, and there's spiritual warfare going on. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. One man and God is a majority, do you hear me? Don't you dare let him back you in a corner. Now, if you're living a double life, you got problems. You got to sell out. If you're living a double life, you got problems. That doesn't mean you have everything put behind you. It's a process. You're working through some of it. Some of you got a good part of your armor on. You're still working through some things. It is a process. But if you are willfully choosing to live a double life, you're in trouble. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It's about surrender and sell out and buying the pearl of great price. And when you do that and then put on the armor, day after day, Tuesday put on the armor, Wednesday put on the armor, Thursday put on the armor. And your time with God isn't always going to be just a beautiful revelation experience. Come on. We eat physically to stay alive. I'm not looking forward to my green beans. A hot fudge sundae is nice occasionally. Your spiritual food, I say that reverently. I do. I'm not making light, but I think sometimes because of the media, the Christian media, we go into our devotions expecting some hype all the time. Come on, it's eating a meal, you know? Sometimes you grab a sandwich, and sometimes, you know, you have some staples, and you just kind of eat it quick, and other times you're like, oh my goodness gracious, look at this ribeye. Oh, that baked potato is perfect. So practically, let me say to you, keep putting on the armor. Every meal isn't delicious. I think the Christian media has heard us there. We're expecting to have a revelation every day. But if you stay faithful to God, there'll be days when he moves in, and you know he moved in. There'll be those days when you least expect it. Sometimes on my prayer walk, it's a little dry. I'm doing what I know I should do. I'm putting on the armor. Sometimes it seems like, remember the eyes on the righteous that we sing? The second verse? talks about Job. Then it goes into saying, sometimes my prayers seem empty, like I'm praying to the wall. Hello, it's that way once in a while. But just about the time you've had a few dry spell days, there'll be a day when God will move in. I remember one time, in the secret, Lord's with the righteous, I don't think you tell everything. I think you ruin it if you tell everything. So I always kind of ask the Lord that. But I remember one time I walked past the end of a section of woods where I walk. And I entered an area, and I remember the minute I entered it, I said out loud, I said, whoa. And I put my hands to my face, and I started to cry, and I realized God was moving in, and I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? Don't let me miss it. And there'll be some meals that you'll say, man, that was good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. But if this is real life, folks, every day isn't a hot foot Sunday. Be faithful, put on the whole armor of God, because the schemer is out to take you down. He's out to take you down. He's out to kill and destroy. Spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices. Satan wants to take advantage, but we're not ignorant concerning his devices. I've had young Christian guys in the mentoring group come to me, Pastor, I need to talk to you confidentially. I need to talk to you. You're not going to believe. You're going to be so disappointed in me. I remember one guy in particular. You're going to be so disappointed in me when I tell you the struggles I'm having. And he told me, and I just looked at him and said, okay. And he said, you don't act very shocked. And I said, well, we're not ignorant concerning the devil's devices. Hello, I'm made out of flesh and blood just like you. I'm not surprised that you had that come your way. I'm not surprised, nor am I disappointed. Now, let's get up, brush off. You did make a bad decision on that. Let's get up and brush off. The devil always tells two lies. The devil always tells two lies. He'll use some form of lie to get us to fall into sin of some kind. But then he always backs it up with the second one. And the second one is, now you did it. Now you've done it. Too late for you. Now you've messed up. He always follows up with that second lie. Don't you believe it? Get back up. These are not easy days. In the last days, 2 Timothy 3, dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, ungodly, unholy, without natural affection. These are days with warped values. Isn't it absolutely amazing the stuff we're arguing about? While people overseas who are taken over by principalities and powers are burning people alive in cages and dropping people into tubs of water and drowning them alive in cages. Principalities and powers have taken over to that extent. We're arguing over transcends those bathrooms. When I'm emotional, I can't. I get tongue-tied. We're arguing over. We're being ridiculous. Professing to be wise, it says in Romans chapter 1. Professing to be wise, they become fools. It was Ish and Isha in the Garden of Eden, for heaven's sakes. Ish and Isha, male and female. And God said, it is good. And in the Hebrew, it means this is proper, this is right. This is my design. The love of God is so perfectly illustrated through the love of a father and a mother. Do you get that? It's bigger than morals. It's bigger than all of that. It's bigger than all of that. God intended in his perfect design, and we certainly haven't done it. But the mother and father are supposed to illustrate the love of God. The father is to be the protector and the provider and the warrior that we see Jesus in Revelation, the warrior. But the woman has an incredible responsibility because she illustrates the unconditional love of God. I can't tell you the times I've been to a prison and visited somebody serving 40, 50 years with more felonies than you can imagine, and his mother will say, he's a good boy. with tears running down her face because there's an unconditional love that a mother has within her. And a mother and father together are to illustrate and show us the love of God. That's God's design. Two men can't do that. Two women can't do that. This is bigger even than we're talking. Our world has gone astray. God's design was perfect. The Garden of Eden was to be for eternity. And we gain back that relationship through Jesus Christ. But the reality is, even though we come to Jesus Christ and we get to know the author and we have the Prince of Peace in our life, we're in the middle of a troubled world. For in the last days, dangerous times will come. And they'll be lovers of their own selves and proud and blasphemers and disobedient and unthankful and unholy without natural affection. There's things that aren't natural, folks. Come on, let's wake up and smell the daisies here. Without natural affection. Now, God says you are in this world and it's a cursed world. But then he calls us to walk with him. That's why he says put on the full armor of God. Then when the schemer tries to pull you in, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. The old Phillips translation that my daddy always liked says, don't let the world pour you into its mold of thinking. The schemer is out to affect your thinking, to distort how you think and how you look at life. These are days we need to stay very close to the Lord. I haven't even started on my notes. So far as just from the iPad. We are not ignorant concerning his devices. Okay. We don't want to be ignorant of what he's doing. Don't make this harder than it is. Part of your prayer life needs to be in this season that we're in. Lord, make me wise to the enemy. Help me see what he's doing. I say that about church all the time. Devil tries to get in church constantly. What? You get together and you sing together and you have a shake hands time where I can't get you guys to sit down. And you got a love between you going on like that. And you got people going up praying with each other. If you were the enemy, what would you do with that? Oh, I'd do everything possible to try to break that up. And that's exactly what the schemer does. And you know what? I don't mean this in a sarcastic, cynical way. I've caught a lot of criticism over the years because I wasn't afraid to confront something. But we got too good a thing. Let schemer in. And I spent a lot of time saying, Lord, you show me. I don't know. You ought to hear my prayers. They're pitiful. I do. I say, Lord, I don't know. This Haiti thing happened. I'm like, Lord, can you explain some of this to me? I don't know what to do next. They're going to call and say, you're president of the mission. What should we do? Hey, guess what? I don't know. But I know somebody does. And I know I never had the luxury of seeing the whole staircase, but God always shows me the next step, and he always has. And I've been through death, my mother's death in the arm and choking on her own vomit. I've been through, don't mean to be offensive, been through fire and losing my home and been through the valley of the shadow of death with cancer, and we've been through hell and back with addictions in the family. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never had the luxury of seeing the whole staircase, but God's always showed me the next step when I took time with the author, and then he imparted the authority to do it. And when God speaks to you, it won't always be popular either. Sometimes he'll say, here's what I want you to do. I've been reading lately back in Jeremiah and Ezekiel because, you know, some prophets, it's just glamorous, you know, and man, look, Elijah called down fire. Man, wouldn't that be good being in on that? But Jeremiah got put in a pit and was in mud up to here because they didn't like what he said. But God said, you tell them what I told you. You're my messenger. I've been saying, Lord, give me the courage as we face troubled times to tell the truth and not be worried if I'm popular. Not be worried if I'm liked. Not be worried if I get any applause or if people just stare at me. Help me to be a faithful messenger. I want to be true to him. In your prayer time, Lord, show me the enemy's devices. I said a while ago, my prayers are pitiful. Brian, they are. They're pitiful. I say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me how to lead these people. You know that scriptural? You remember Moses praying that prayer? Lord, show me how to lead these. He left Egypt with 1.5 million people. They said it would have taken 50 boxcar loads a day to feed them. And he took them out in the wilderness just because God told him to. No wonder he said, now what do we do? Who would have ever dreamed that God would rain wafers from heaven and cover the ground? I'm going to tell you something. He's a chain breaker. He's a way maker. He's a prison-shaking Savior. We're going to enter some tough times. We're going to enter some times. We're nearing a new season, and we're in that season where there's some difficult times coming, and we're going to have to learn more and more to live in faith and operate in faith and trust Him. Part of your prayer needs to be, I believe, I pray it all the time, Lord, show me the devices of the enemy. Show me the devices of the enemy. Now, I'm about out of time. I'm going to probably do this in a series, and I don't know that I'll do it consecutively every week, but I have been thinking about having a series on Be Not Deceived, and I have, to start out, I got 12 things. I'm going to start, I'm not going to start through them. I've said most of what I need to say already, but schemes of the enemy. I have 12 things, and like I said, I may not do them every week, but I think over the course of the next couple of months, Brian, for the things that you make up so well for us to give out to people, this may end up a series as far as entitled Schemes of the Enemy. I want to deal with different category of scheme. We all have our daily temptations. We all have our daily things we struggle with. But I'm talking about this verse that I had up there for so long. Spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers. A little bit higher level of scheme that I think the enemy often uses. A conversation that I had with the mentoring group. I think it was specifically with Kevin Smith, but everybody was included in it. I said, guys, you know what I worry about with you? And it's number one up here. I said, here's what I worry about with you, all of you. Getting out of balance in your thinking, in your doctrine, or in your emphasis. Getting out of balance in your thinking, in your doctrine, or in your emphasis. Here's what I know. And Kevin and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago, and then we talked about it in the group. The devil has watched some of you, and he's figured out. He's the schemer. He studies you. Prince and power of the air. He's watched you and he's figured out that you're not going back to the strip club. He's figured that out. He's seen you in church. He's seen you raise your hands during songs. He's seen you make trips to the altar. He's seen you grab the prayer list. Now, he can't get into all your spiritual stuff because the secret of the Lord's with the righteous. And there's a realm of prayer he can't get in. I'll not go to that today. But I believe there's a realm of prayer he can't get in. There's a realm with you and God that he can't get in. But he's watched you. And he's schemed, and he's figured out that you're not going back to the bar. He's figured that out. So, the next thing he'll do is begin to get you out of balance in some way. You with me? Get you out of balance in some way. Get you off on a tangent that gets you away from the two greatest commandments of loving God and living for others. And I said, that's the concern I have for this group. I'm looking at that mentoring group. There's a lot of zeal in here. There's a lot of excitement in here, and that's a great thing. But the next thing the schemer will bring is, he's watched you, he's figured out. You're not going to go out here and do some hideous thing. He's seen tears running down your face when we're singing the song, Oh, How He Loves. He's seen tears running down your face when you're singing Good, Good Father. He's seen that, so he's not going to waste his time on some bizarre temptation that you're not even going to think about twice. But what he will try to do is get you out of balance in your thinking, get you on a tangent, get you emphasizing something that's off track. And I can see that in my life at various times where the devil tried that scheme. And the answer to that is put on the whole armor of God. In your time with God, Lord, make me wise to the devil's devices. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. through the Holy Spirit, through our time with God and our walk with God, he reveals truth to us. I had something this week, it doesn't affect any of you, but I had something this week in my time with God and taking extra time with God, not just morning, but evening, and taking some select time and some time in fasting. I don't normally say that, not a lot, moderately. But I'm saying that too, to prompt you. Get serious. I had one area in particular I felt God nudged me on. And he said, Tom, you mean well, but you're not looking at this right. Okay, I'm all ears. Now surrender's got to be part of it. If you think you know everything, that ain't going to work. Surrender's got to be part of it. Hey, I've been walking with the Lord for 40-some years now, and I got 32 years in the ministry, but hello, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not bulletproof. I'm sure there's a percentage of error in what I'm doing. So going before God and say, Lord, where am I off track? And he is faithful. He is faithful. He'll nudge you. He'll bump you. He'll bring people into your life. He'll cross paths with people. You'll cross paths with people. You'll have conversations you didn't anticipate. And the wind of the Spirit will put you in places where he'll keep you on track. And there's a security in knowing that you're trusting God to keep you on track. I believe that in one of the most troubled societies that's ever been, because the last days, dangerous times will come. So I'm not exaggerating here. Jesus said that. Then shall be tribulation like never was or ever shall be. I believe that you can be rock solid and dead on the money in God's will. I believe that more than I believe I'm standing here and breathing. I believe you can be dead on, but it's going to be through putting on the whole armor of God. Time with him. Sell the pearls. Some of you guys want the benefits of pearl of great price, but you don't want to sell the pearls. Excuse me. Will you receive that from me? Some of you guys, you want the benefits. And when you see it in other people, you really do want it, but you don't want to sell the pearls. The parable says that the man saw the pearl of great price and went and sold all he had and bought that field. Buy the field. Buy the field. The pearl of great price. I don't care if the whole world knows that I want the pearl of great price. I want the pearl of great price. And the pearl of great price here on earth is the abiding, constant, moment-by-moment presence of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes an anointing. With that comes an authority. And occasionally, there'll be a miracle that'll just knock your socks off of you. And God will do it his way, but it's found in surrender and yielding to him is how it's found. All right, I used up my 10 minutes. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for the awesome privilege of bearing your message. I view it just as that. May I never mess it up. May I never distort it. May I never have too much flesh in it. You choose to use flesh and blood, and I feel honored that you'd speak through me. May I never mess it up. May I never be tainted with my own thinking. Use these words, meld our hearts, bring us to a place of sold out to you, surrendered to you, devoted to you, and time with the author that benefits us so tremendously. Be with us as we go from this place. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.